FWA podcast from William Hill. Listen to the podcast at williamhill.com/podcast.
Welcome along to the FWA podcast. Every week at William Hill, we welcome one of the best football writers in the business to have a chat about the main stories and look forward to the Premier League weekend. This week is no different. Rob Draper joins us from the Mail on Sunday, chief football writer with the newspaper. You well, Rob?
Yeah, I'm very good, Lee. How are you?
Yeah, very good, thank you. Looking forward to another Premier League weekend after a decent FA Cup replay midweek, actually. And, of course, we're in the middle of the transfer window at the moment, Rob, but which I always think must be kind of half brilliant and half terrible for you guys, because one, it fills a lot of inches in the paper, but two, it must be a nightmare to keep track of all the time.
Yeah, absolutely, and I think particularly the first couple of weeks of January, everyone's just making their moves, trying to line things up. Obviously, the Wilfred Bonny move went through earlier this week, but most clubs are still trying to put things together, and I think we are now hitting the period where stuff will start to happen, and obviously in the last week that's when it really gets going.
In terms of January transfers, when I was preparing for this podcast, I was thinking to myself that the Bony one was quite a big one. You know, £28 million taking a player from a club who arguably could miss his goals so much that they might slip down the table, and I thought that seemed quite unlikely, really. Then I started looking at the previous January transfers, Robin. There've been some huge signings, haven't there?
Yeah, we were talking about it earlier, weren't we? And we're just, you know, there's some really, really significant signings happening in January. And at this time of year, we're always talking to scouts and agents and managers, and they're all saying, oh no, it's a terrible month to do business. And actually, Chelsea signed the manager Matic last January, which has proved a massive signing for them. Man United signed Patrice Evra and the manager Vidic in January transfer window. £50 million was spent on Fernando Torres in a January transfer window, and Daniel Sturridge and Luis Suarez both moved to Liverpool in separate January transfer windows. So these are players who became legends, for some of them, for the clubs that they ended up signing for. So it's a bit of a myth, really. And that said, it's harder sometimes to do business now, but there are some really significant deals done, and there is some big business done.
I suppose the difference might be that if you're looking for a player from a Champions League club who are still involved in knockout phases, it's unlikely, like, for instance, I'm thinking Mats Hummels, for instance, at Borussia Dortmund. We know that Manchester United would like to sign him. We know that Arsenal are rumoured to be in for him, and many other clubs would be as well. The fact that Borussia had such a bad first half of the season domestically, it kind of alerted people to him, and some of his comments about his teammates weren't exactly complimentary. But why would Borussia Dortmund sell one of their best players, a German World Cup winner, ahead of, you know, a knockout game against Juventus, for instance?
Absolutely, and I think particularly with a club like Dortmund, I know they're struggling this season, but a big German club that are well organised, they will do their transfers in the summer, or they will endeavour to do their moves in the summer. And I think everyone thinks Royce and Hummels will be up for moving in the summer, but not for now. And I think one of the problems Arsenal are having is that they have got a lot of German players who would like to sign, and they can't sign them now. And those sort of holding midfielders that they would like to sign, like Christoph Kramer or Lars Bender, Sven Bender, Ilay Gundogan, they can't get at the moment. And I think that's the sort of quality that Arsene Wenger would want to bring into the club. And so, you know, there are issues with January. I think Kevin Strootman may possibly fall into that category, or maybe that's more likely. You know, there is a possibility that happened. But obviously, Roma were a Champions League club, and, you know, Roma wouldn't particularly want him to go in January, and that's a big club in Italy. But you know, there's always ways and means, and money often talks. But the German clubs in particular, or the bigger German clubs, are more organised and more structured, I think, in how they do things, and they don't like to lose players in January. They like to do it season to season.
Yeah, you wonder if maybe January is a time when the pre-contract deals are almost done.
Absolutely.
And so let's chat again in the summer. Are there any moves that you see happening in particular? I mean, one of the interesting ones was Paul Pogba, who obviously he falls into the category of, you know, Juve are still in the Champions League, but his agent said, yeah, but if we get the right deal, then we'll go at any time.
I think Pogba's a signing that all the top clubs in Europe would like to do. The interesting thing there, I think, is are Juventus reassert themselves. Is the Italian league or an Italian club reasserting itself as one of the top clubs? Because they've got their own stadium. They're winning the league every year. They're going better and better, you know, potentially in Champions League. Could they have a good year this year? Obviously, Juventus want to keep him as a sign that they are becoming, you know, back into that elite of the top three or four clubs in Europe. You kind of feel Pogba will go possibly to Spain, possibly to Real Madrid at some stage. I think Strootman is the interesting one. Lou van Gaal obviously wants him. They obviously need to strengthen that midfield. Strootman, I think, would love to come to Man United. Roma would sell him if they got the right price. Their owner saying, well, it'd have to be silly money, you know, which is always the precursor to please. You do give us a bid and we'll consider it. I think that's a possibility. I think it's more likely in the summer, but I think those are the kind of things that if United start thinking, well, actually, we really do need someone now, let's get it done. I think your point earlier was right, though. You need to start doing your summer business now. You know, players need to be sort of signed up now. There's no good in sort of start of June. So I say, right, well, who do we really want? It's kind of an ongoing process. Clubs are always doing it, and those that get ahead of the game make the best signings.
Yeah, I suppose the other club who would need someone at Liverpool, you know, yeah, in terms of a striker. I mean, you still, I reminded myself of the Premier League goals that have been scored by Balotelli, Lambert, Barini and Sturridge. And, you know, let's leave Sturridge out of it because it's a bit unfair to count him in since he's only played three Premier League games. But the other three have scored one Premier League goal between them. They're desperate for a striker. Lovatti's been mentioned, hasn't he, from PSG. Not exactly prolific, but I suppose it would be a decent sign. And there's rumours they could get him for under £10 million.
Yeah, and I think Inter are interested as well. And Cavani, of course, at PSG, both of whom I think came back late from their Christmas holidays. I think the big thing for Liverpool is Sturridge coming back though, isn't it? I mean, and I know that's been, we've been waiting for seemingly forever for Sturridge to come back. If he can come back in the next couple of weeks, they've got Sterling there. You know, maybe that can reignite them a little bit, but you're absolutely right. The striker situation at Liverpool's been desperate this season. I think the other thing that Liverpool, there's sort of a mood at Liverpool that, well, we're not going to do too much this January, we don't need to. You know, sometimes that's just a way of getting prices down, and clearly they do need to get and want to get a goalkeeper. The thing that is lurking in the background for Liverpool is UEFA's financial fair play, the dreaded financial fair play, and Manchester City got done last summer. Obviously, they got fined and they got a transfer restriction put on them. Liverpool are in a similar position, not identical, but they are under investigation by UEFA. They're looking at their accounts. UEFA have already said that they're one of the clubs they're looking at as a potential breach of the financial fair play regulations for losing too much money. So you may find that Liverpool can't spend too much money because, a bit like Manchester City have been over the last 12 months, albeit they've spent a lot of money on Boney, there's a degree of restriction. That doesn't mean they won't make transfers, doesn't mean they won't be looking for players, but they might not be able to spend quite as much as they would ordinarily do.
Yeah, Liverpool may have to wait until that Gerrard wage bills are off.
Absolutely,
the
that will help.
Yeah, let's look forward to the Premier League weekend. We've got some interesting games, four TV games, and it all starts off on the telly at 5:30 on Saturday, no 12:45 match this week, but Derby Nottingham Forest is on, so that will keep you entertained, no doubt. We'll start with Newcastle versus Southampton, Rob. 12-5 Newcastle, 23-10 the draw, and 23-20 Southampton. Saints getting past Ipswich and pretty much doing what, I mean, I wondered if they'd be a bit more expansive, but they just do what they do away from home.
Yeah.
They know how to shut teams down. They're very controlled, very disciplined, and they trust their strikers to take a chance or two.
I think the thing that's impressed everyone about that Koeman is that side knows exactly what they're doing. And it has obviously been a side in transition, lots of new signings, but tactically Koeman's got it spot on. We were talking to him last week, and it is just about organisation, just about the players knowing their jobs. And home and away, they make slight changes tactically. They made a few changes last night, obviously, but it doesn't make an awful lot of difference. He's worried about the size of the squad because it is relatively small to the clubs they're competing against. But to be honest, it doesn't seem to make an awful lot of difference who they slot into those roles. They all seem to know exactly what they're doing. You would really fancy Southampton to go there and win at the moment because Newcastle haven't won under John Carver. I have to say it was a much, much better performance under John Carver in the first half against Chelsea. They really were very good, and obviously at home they would have more of with the crowd behind them and have an okay record at home. But I think the way Southampton are in, I think they could get something there.
Yeah, interesting to see some of the injury problems as well they picked up in midweek, which could cost them. As you say, they do seem to slot players in, but that's going to be the problem in the end, I suppose, isn't it? That, that they run out of players, or the players' fitness won't be as good as maybe some of the other top four teams.
Well, I think that's when we're talking about top four, that's what everyone, no one really believes they're going to make the top four. Everyone thinks, well, okay, they'll make the top, you know, no one really believes they're going to make the top four. People think they might make the top six or seven, but at some stage your squad tends to run out. As I say, what I've been impressed about is just the way he's been able to rotate some of those midfield players, some of those defenders. Shane Long's come in, you know, when he's needed to. He's sometimes playing starting, sometimes he just comes in for the cup games. He's scoring goals. It's just been really impressive how they've managed to manage that squad.
Yes, it is. Another team who've also got some injury problems are in the next TV game that we'll look at. Hull City, their striking options have been limited with Nikita Jelovic and Abel Hernandez struggling. They go to West Ham, who seem to have an abundance of striking talent now. Even with Diafra Sakho out injured, they've still got Andy Carroll, who's come back in such good form. And Enner Valencia, who, although he's not kind of got the same goals tally as Sakho has, he can win a game on his day, can't he, Enner Valencia?
I think Valencia's he's so quick, isn't he? And he's clearly giving West Ham that dimension, along with Sakho and Carroll coming back strong. But Valencia's one of the key players, isn't he? Because if you have that outlet in attack, if you have that kind of pace, and Sakho's got a bit as well, then it completely changes how teams play against you, because they don't really want to defend too high up the pitch. They need to keep deep because they're worried about the pace. It completely changed the mentality, and I think that's what West Ham were lacking last season. They weren't a side you felt could hurt you offensively, and suddenly they've got all sorts of options. And Hull are just coming into that game at the worst point in their season, aren't they? As you say, injuries to key strikers, to key players, and really struggling to get a win at the moment, struggling to get results. It looks like a downward trajectory. West Ham in completely opposite direction. And the cup tie, you know, of course, manages the priorities of the Premier League, but winning that cup tie in such dramatic fashion in midweek is going to make a huge difference, give them huge confidence. They all feel they can beat anything at the moment. West Ham at home looks a really good bet, doesn't it?
Yeah, it does indeed. The game of the weekend on paper anyway is Manchester City versus Arsenal, 4 o'clock on Sunday afternoon. Manchester City are the favourites here at 3-4. The draw is 14-5, and Arsenal 17-5. They beat them in the Community Shield, of course, Arsenal. And there was a 2-2 draw at the Emirates. Arsenal haven't beaten one of the current top six away from home since 2011, when they beat Chelsea. So they've got a real issue against the big teams at the moment, but they've got players coming back, Rob, haven't they? The likes of Ozil and Ramsey were in the squad for the last game, and the win against Stoke. We're told Danny Welbeck's getting closer. Giroud came back into the team, of course. Alexis Sanchez is in great form as well. Interesting game this, with no Yaya Toure there in the midfield. He's been getting better and better as the weeks have gone on recently.
Yeah, it's really intriguing. The conundrum for Arsenal at the moment is that they have this appalling record against their main rivals and top four sides, don't they? I mean, it's just shocking. And yet, their abundance of attacking talent. I mean, maybe, you know, Man United made all the signings in the summer, and you know they've got an extraordinary front line as well, but you know, maybe the strongest in the league that Arsenal have, and yet they still can't get it together. You know, Alexis Sanchez can do something against a side like Manchester City, and that's a difference maybe to a year or year and a half ago. They have a couple of really key players who can turn it on against big sides. That said, Manchester City at home, Arsenal with that record, you can possibly see it being a draw, but it's really, really difficult these days to see Arsenal winning a game away from home against a top four side or against a big team, isn't it?
Yeah, unfortunately for them, might be a lot of people getting involved in Man City there. The final TV game of the weekend, extended weekend, it's Monday night, is Everton versus West Brom. Everton are odds on here, 4-5. It's 5-2 the draw and 7-2 for the Baggies. The most interesting thing for me here, Rob, is the return to form of one Lukaku and the other one Berahino, two strikers who seem to be really getting back into the stride here.
Yeah, two very young strikers as well, aren't they? So, I mean, that in a sense, that's to be expected. You know, it's unusual for a player in his early 20s to just have a consistent season all the way through. They will ebb and flow. They've both got tremendous talent. You can see Lukaku sometimes is frustrated, perhaps, at the way Everton play. I mean, he's running around an awful lot, isn't he? And he's showing for the ball and then not getting it. And then when finally he does get the ball, you know, he's tired and he can't make the run. And I do have some sympathy with him, because I think if you've got a player like Lukaku up front, you're going to want an awful lot of crosses and possibly to play a bit more direct, which isn't Roberto Martinez's style. That said, Martinez obviously signed him with a reason, you know, with a purpose, and it's beginning to come through now. You just feel West Brom going there with Tony Pulis in charge, they're just going to get more and more organised, aren't they? It's not, you know, it's going to improve from here on in, and they're going to have a plan. You can see this one being a draw, because that will be a good point for West Brom, and Everton's defence is such that you always would fancy Berahino or one of the, you know, for West Brom to score there.
The other games this weekend in the Premier League are all on Saturday at 3 p.m. Swansea-Chelsea are the favourites there. Leicester versus Stoke, which is an intriguing match. Leicester the favourites in that match. Burnley versus Crystal Palace, another massive game at the bottom of the table. Villa versus Liverpool, Tottenham, Sunderland, and QPR versus Manchester United. QPR starting this torrid run of home fixtures. They've had this awful run of away fixtures and they haven't won any. And the home form has been keeping them afloat. Well, now this is where it all starts to get tricky for them. They've got an awful run of home games starting with Man U right through to the end of the season, pretty much. We ask every week, Rob, for a bet of the week. Is there one result in the Premier League this weekend that you can see happening that you really like?
Well, I look at that West Ham game, and I just think that them coming off the back of that cup tie, the form they're in, the confidence they have, and the problems Hull have got. For me, that's a home win.
Yeah, it looks a good bet, 8-11 as well. It's not a bad price at all against a team who struggled to score goals, and they've got the two first-choice strikers out as well. Rob, thanks very much for your time.
No problems.
Rob Draper from the Mail on Sunday, the chief football writer there. You can also follow Rob on Twitter, of course. It's Draper_Rob, I believe. Is that right?
That's correct, yeah.
You can join the masses following you on there. I know all of you journalists love getting interaction from your readers.
Absolutely. Most of the time, it's very polite and engaging. Some of the time.
thanks very much, Rob. You can listen to this podcast at williamhill.com/podcasts. It's available on audioboom.com. It's also at footballwriters.co.uk, the FWA website, and you'll find lots more on there as well. Plus, if you want to, you can subscribe at iTunes, and you get the podcast delivered straight to your phone, your tablet, or your PC every time we upload it. So thanks very much for downloading this one. And if you're having a bet on any of the Premier League action this week, then very best of luck.
William Hill is committed to responsible gambling. Visit gambleaware.co.uk for more information.